Good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every one of you. Grace and peace, and welcome to 60 for 60 at 5 a.m. This is AP, Ava Bethel, and so glad to be with you on this beautiful Saturday morning. This is the last Saturday of January 2026. You all, we are already 31 days in to the new year. Can you believe it? I believe that you can, but it almost is remarkable how quick time is moving. And so there is no time to waste time. Again, good morning to all of you that are coming in. Take a moment and just remind someone on this morning that we are here. We are here 31 days into this new year, and we are here on this last Saturday of the month. We don't want them to miss live at 5, amen, on this morning. Thank you so much for joining the line on today. Listen, this week, starting on Wednesday, I and some of the team of Sent Miami was able to travel up to Deerfield Beach for the prophetic symposium that was hosted by Apostle Cynthia Thompson. I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with Apostle Cynthia Thompson, but she is definitely one of the generals in the kingdom of God, and definitely in our area. I do live in Miami. I live in the county of Miami-Dade, and where Apostle Billy and Cynthia Thompson's church is located is in the Broward County area. Many of you are familiar with Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm sure you've heard of it before, even if you've never been there before. And it's kind of north of, it's pretty north of Fort Lauderdale, not very far though. For those that are joining in on this morning, I'm just going to ask if you would, just to prevent the feedback, if you would mute your line on this morning. Thank you so very much. And so on this weekend, some of the team from Sent Miami, we went up to the prophetic symposium. It started on Wednesday. We were able to attend some of the sessions on Thursday and on Friday. And I wasn't able to attend all of the classes, but I was able to attend some of them. And as I sat under the teaching, there was a common theme that kept surfacing in the sessions that I attended. And one of the common themes was purification, purification. Several instructors were addressing the need for the prophetic stream to be purified and detoxed. And so when that language keeps showing up across different voices, you got to treat that as a sign. God does not keep pressing on certain topics just to be talking about it. He kept pressing on purification because he's trying to give us insight. He's pressing on purification because obviously there's mixture that still exists, you know, and mixture interferes with our discernment. Mixture interferes with our speech and our spiritual judgment. Now, I want to slow down and explain what I mean when I say the prophetic, because at this stage and in this age, you will hear the prophetic often, and I'm pretty sure that you've at least heard the word. But I want to explain what it means, because I do not want anyone listening to assume this has nothing to do with you. In Scripture, the prophetic is the way God communicates. The prophetic is one of the ways that God communicates. And it includes hearing, it includes perceiving, and it includes responding to what the Spirit is saying. Good morning to all of you that are chiming in on this morning. I want you to take a moment and check to see if your phone is muted. Check to see if your phone is muted, and if it's not, I want you to take a moment just to mute your line to ensure that there's no feedback on this morning. I appreciate that so much. Take a moment and see, is my phone muted? Because I still am hearing something in the background. The prophetic is the way that God communicates, okay? Again, for those that are writing, it is the way we hear perceive, and respond to what the Spirit is saying in alignment with the Word of God. So it includes how God convicts us, how he warns us, how he comforts us, how he edifies us as a church, and how he gives us direction. It includes discerning what is happening in a spiritual atmosphere and then agreeing with God in prayer and obedience. Every believer is meant to live with spiritual sensitivity, okay? Every single one of you is meant to live with spiritual sensitivity. John 10 and 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice." That is a baseline expectation for the people of God. That's a baseline expectation. Acts 2, verse 17 says, "God pours out his Spirit and sons and daughters prophesy." That does not make every person a prophet by office, but it does mean the Holy Spirit makes the church spiritually alive and spiritually responsive. Okay? I want us all to get that, just in case there's someone that is not clear on what the prophetic is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse 1 says, "Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy." Again, it says, "Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy." Paul is speaking to the church. He's not speaking to just a small group of people. He's speaking to the church at large, and he's teaching that prophecy is a gift that edifies the body, and believers are permitted to desire it with order and maturity. So when I talk about purifying the prophetic, I am not talking to a niche group. We are talking to the body of Christ. The moment you are listening for the Holy Spirit, the moment you are discerning, the moment you are praying with insight, the moment you are speaking encouragement that carries spiritual weight, you are interacting with the prophetic function at some level. If you just came in, please mute your line. Thank you so very much. Okay? This is important for us to understand as the body of Christ. Purification in this context, God is cleansing the inner life of the believer so the stream they carry stays clear, okay? So when we're talking about purifying the prophetic, that is exactly what we mean, that our inner lives, as each of us as believers, God wants to keep us cleansed so that what we carry stays clear. It is God putting his hand on our motives, on the methods that we use, on our emotions, on our doctrine. It is God confronting anything, the smallest of things. It is God confronting those things that dilute truth in us, that bend our discernment, that turn spiritual sensitivity into performance. And one of the most sobering parts of this is that mixture can exist in people who love God. Did you hear me? Mixture can exist in people who love God, just like demons can exist in people who love God. That came up in one of the classes as well. All right? Mixture can absolutely be in someone who loves God, someone that attends church, right? We see this all the time, and God is addressing it, all right? Mixture can exist in people who have longevity in church. Mixture can exist in people who know scripture. Mixture can exist in people who pray and serve and lead. Knowledge and time do not automatically remove contamination, all right? Knowledge, your knowledge, and the time you've been doing a thing does not automatically remove contamination. Sometimes contaminations can hide. And sometimes we assume people are mature without examining their fruit. So today, I want to teach plainly. I want to give you a scriptural framework on this morning. I want you to go with me to Malachi chapter number 3. Get your scriptures out this morning, and let's look at Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 2 through 3. Again, get your Bibles. Let's go to Malachi chapter number 3. Come on, go with me on this morning, and let's read verses 2 and 3. If you have it, let me know. Let me know. Just unmute and say, hey, I got it. I found it. If you need some more time to get it. All right. It is in the Old Testament. Malachi 3. I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. Does everyone have it this morning? Okay, now I need you to unmute and let me know if you have Malachi 3.
I have it.
Okay, great. One person. Anyone else has gotten their scripture? Malachi 3, if you have it, please unmute and let me know that you have it. Malachi 3.
I have it.
And we're going to read verse. Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you for letting me know. Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3. Grab your scripture this morning. Does everyone have it?
I have it.
God, good. Thank you. Thank you, Latasha. Thank you, Brittany. Thank you, Stacy.
I have an apostle.
Thank you, Prophet. Prophet Shan, do you have it? I think Patricia is on. The rest of you, do you have Malachi? I want to make sure that everyone is looking. Imari, do you have it? Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3.
I have it.
Okay, thank you, Patricia. She got it. Amari, if you're driving, I don't want you to get it. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3 says, but who may abide the day of his coming? That's a question. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? That's another question. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. I want you to highlight that if you can in your Bibles this morning. For those that just came in, we are in the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, and we just looked at verses 2 through 3. Now, this passage describes the Lord sitting as a refiner and a purifier. And so that detail tells us this is intentional work that the Lord is doing, right? Refining is skilled, it is deliberate, it is thorough. A refiner watches the process until what needs to rise to the surface comes up and what needs to be removed is separated. We saw a lot of that just in these 2 days. Many of us saw a lot of things rising to the surface, even in 60 for 60. I'm sure that you're noticing that things are rising up to the surface, things that you may have thought that were gone, you know, things that hurts, maybe pains, trauma, drama, just all kinds of things have been coming up in the soul. And guess what? If they're coming up, you're doing it right. If it's coming up, you are doing it right. And this is why purification is such a persistent theme when God is reforming prophetic culture. God is not only correcting our words, He's literally refining our vessels. He's refining our vessels through the word of God that we read in our private time, when we go to our Bible studies, 60 for 60, the prophetic symposium. I mean, everything that we are allowing ourselves to be developed in, God is really correcting and he's addressing and he's refining us. I want you to flip with me to Psalm 51. I'm going to read verse 10. Psalm 51, quickly, just turn your scriptures, if you have your physical Bible or if you're on a device, go to Psalm 51. I'm going to read just two verses, verse 6, and then I'm going to read verse 10. Psalm 51 says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." I'm going to read that again. It's really good. It says, "Behold, thou desirest truth." This is the Lord, what he desires. "Thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Okay, the writer is writing this, but this is what the Lord wants from us. He wants truth in our inward parts, and in the hidden part, the writer is saying that the Lord will make him to know wisdom, right? Then I want you to jump down to verse number 10, and it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within." The writer of this particular psalm says God desires truth in the inward parts, and he asked God for a clean heart and a right spirit. Listen to what the language. He wants a clean heart and a right spirit. David is not asking for, you know, a better public image. He is asking for an inner cleansing that changes what comes out of him. Whatever is in you eventually shows up through you. Okay, whatever is in you, eventually it is going to show up through you. I want to connect this with 2 Timothy 2. I want to show it to you in the scripture. 2 Timothy, go to chapter number 2 for me. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And I want us to read verses 20 through 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, go to verse 20. It says, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but there also is vessels of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." All right? I want to connect these two scriptures. Paul talks about vessels in a great house, and he says, if a man purges himself, he becomes a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. This gives us the aim that God has when he refines us. God wants vessels that carry his intent without the contamination. All right? God wants us to be vessels that carry his intent without contamination. So for those that are writing on this morning, if you're driving or if you're not in a position to write, I don't want you to put yourself in harm's way. You can always go back to the replay. Point number one this morning, God purifies the vessel because the vessel shapes the stream. Did you hear that? God purifies the vessel. Why? Because the vessel shapes the stream. If the prophetic is flowing through a person, then the condition of the person is going to affect the condition of the flow. Okay? The condition, I just got through training a group of leaders for 4 weeks. And what they thought the leader, it was a leadership training. And I had some people literally going to their apostle saying, "I can't do this class. It's too much." You know why? Because we were coming for that soul. The name of the training was called the Leadership Crucible. You know what a crucible is? Heat, pressure, all right? Leadership Crucible was the name of the training. And we were coming for the soul. We were literally getting to the very finite things that are in the soul. And some people wanted to back out because it forced them to address things that they hadn't addressed. So if the prophetic is flowing through you, The condition of your soul is going to affect the condition of the flow of the prophetic. It's going to affect the condition of your discernment, right? And this is why purification shows up as a repeated instruction, because God does not want your public persona. He doesn't want your counterfeit. He's not interested in your form. He wants to address our private, the private areas of our life that have been unmanaged. In Malachi 3, we read it this morning, the Lord purifies the priestly line because priests handled holy things. In a New Testament sense, prophetic people are also handling holy things. You do not handle holy things casually. You have to remain accurate, you know, and that is developed over time, but it's necessary for God to address the very fine things, the very small foxes. You might remain gifted, but accuracy and purity are not the same thing, okay? They're not the same. Purification is God addressing what is distorting our spiritual perception. And so these are common distortions. I'm going to give them to you. Unprocessed offense. When you have unprocessed offense, you know what it causes? Suspicion. You're always suspicious of things. What is this person's motive? I don't know about them. That's what happens when you have unprocessed offense. So God is going to address that. The other thing is, if there's any hidden pride in us, hidden pride resists correction. Okay? God is addressing it. Why? Because it distorts our spiritual perception. If there's any insecurities that need, if you need constant validation, God is addressing that in our soul. If you have fear, fear that makes you speak too quickly, right? Fear that makes you back up from what God has told you to do, God is addressing this, all right? Desire for influence that turns revelation into leverage. These are the things. These are just some of the things. These are the common distortions. And this is why David's prayer in Psalm 51 and 10 is a clean heart and a right spirit. When the heart is unclean, the spirit begins to bend. That's truly what it means to be distorted. When something is distorted, you ever seen a wicker chair before? Anybody ever seen a wicker chair? What they do to the wicker in order for it to bend so that it can look the way that it looks when you sit in those beautiful wicker pieces, but they are bent. And so our spirit begins to bend when our heart is unclean. When the spirit bends, then our discernment becomes unreliable. And when the discernment is unreliable, then delivery becomes harmful to any person that is speaking or moving or handling holy things. Number two, I only have 3 points. Mixture hides in our motives and our methods, not only in our doctrine, but in our motives and our methods. Mixture is not always obvious doctrinal error. Mixture can be correct wording, but unclean motives. We can have all of the right wording. We can have the knowledge. How many people do we know that are standing before us? They're extremely smart. They're intellectual. They have all of the right language. They are actually correct in what they're saying, but their motives are unclean. Mixture can be biblical statements delivered from an unbiblical spirit. They talked about that, I believe, last night. That what happens is, you know, you have people up doing praise and worship. You have people speaking over the pulpit. And then we go home and we have these perverse dreams, or we start feeling things that we shouldn't, or anger, rage. Why? Because the person that's standing before us, whether they're preaching, singing, whatever they're doing, praying, they're releasing that on, they're spewing that on us. And that is why Psalm 51 and 6 focuses on inward truth. God he's going to target the internal world because that is where distortion begins. Again, identity, the gift becomes self-definition. So correction feels like attack. These are some mixtures. in our identity, right? Everything is about self-definition. And so then when correction comes, it feels like an attack on you. Emotion, hurt and disappointment get baptized as discernment. When you're dealing with mixture in your emotions, when you're dealing with mixture in culture, you know, popular narratives begin to shape our conclusions faster than scripture actually does, right? Culture. I got on one of my spiritual daughters. We were writing the other day, and she said, you know, I want to know what a color means. And she went and grabbed her phone. I said, why are you grabbing your phone? What are you getting ready to look up? She said, I'm going to go to the scripture. She said, but initially I wasn't. I was going to go to Google. No, that's because why? That's been popular. It's popular in our culture. It's popular just to go to ChatGPT. Popular to use these AI tools. And it's nothing wrong with using them. But when they take the place of Holy Spirit, and we're so quick to grab that before we grab our scripture, then God wants to bring purification to that. Okay? The places where mixture can be is in our relationships, where we have loyalty to people. And loyalty to people becomes stronger than the loyalty to truth. God is going to address that. If we have mixture in power, right, where words start steering outcomes rather than serving people, God is going to purify that. And if you want a practical test, I want you to use a simple internal check before you speak. These are things you can ask yourself. Am I at peace? Or am I really charged right now? If I'm not at peace, then, okay, I need to align myself. Am I submitted? Or am I trying to control everything in my life? Am I submitted to God? Am I submitted to the voices of God that he's placed in my life? Or am I trying to be in control? Am I clear in my motives? Or do I want to be seen as accurate? Am I anchored in the scripture? Or am I running on intensity? Can I allow this to be weighed by my leader? Or do I need? Or do I think that I know everything? Or do I think that I need to protect myself? And this connects back to 2 Timothy 2:21. The scripture ties usefulness to purification. Meet for the master's use. The master decides what is useful and what is not. Your gifting does not define your usefulness. The condition of your vessel does. Come on, that was good to me if it wasn't good to you. The condition of your vessel is what defines if you are meet for the master's use. My last point before we pray. Purification is a process, y'all. And it's a process that produces restraint. It's going to produce clarity in you and I, and it's going to produce fruit. I don't want you, Rome was not built in a day. Purification is a process. Okay, so I don't want you to get, you know, too hard on yourself because it is a process. But what it's going to produce, it's going to produce restraint in you. It's going to produce clarity, and it's going to produce fruit. Purification doesn't usually begin on a stage. Purification begins in the inner life. It shows up through patterns. It shows up in the way that we respond to correction. It shows up in the way that we handle delay. It shows up in the way when we speak, when we feel pressure, you know. It can show up in our tone. And this is also why 1 Peter 1:7 is relevant. I'll read it to you, 1 Peter 1:7. Let me get to it. 1 Peter, if you want to go with me, 1 Peter 1. Let me look for that. Okay, verse number 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So this was what makes this relevant. Peter talks about faith being tried, okay? Faith, your faith is going to be tested and tried. Trials are what reveal what is present, okay? Again, we experience, just in 2 days, we experience this very thing that I'm talking about right now, right? Because God will begin to try our faith, and that is going to show what is present in us. Trials also burn away what cannot remain. That is really what God is after. He wants to use the trial to burn away what cannot remain. When God is purifying a believer, these outcomes start forming. Scripture becomes government in our lives, okay? Prayer becomes honest again, right? Not performative, but honest. Our mouths slow down, all right? When God is purifying us, these are some of the outcomes. Our mouths begin to slow down. Our discernment begins to sharpen. You test impressions instead of announcing them. You value accountability because you fear God more than you fear being corrected, right? Your delivery carries love. That is one of the ways that you can see the outcome of a believer that's being purified. Your delivery carries love, and love includes restraint. So what I want you to know before we pray is that purification is going to produce fruit. It's going to produce stability. It's going to produce clean perception. It's going to produce a discipled mouth. And so today, I'm calling us to treat purification as our personal responsibility. God is calling us to stop assuming that time in church equals clarity. God is calling us to let him search our hearts, and what he finds, let him remove it. What we have been excusing, God is addressing. God is calling us to let him cleanse our motives, cleanse our speech, cleanse our discernment, cleanse our doctrine, so that our prophetic stream stays clean. And our prophetic stream will stay clean when our vessels are staying submitted, staying submitted. Not I submit it today, but in the next hour I'm not submitted. No, our stream stays clean when our vessel stays submitted. A prophetic stream stays clear when our inner life stays honest, when we stay accountable, we stay close, okay? So I want you to pray this with me on this morning. I'm going to pray into this on this morning. I want you to pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you, O God, on today with reverence. We come, God, again, submitting our lives. We submit our voice. We submit our influence, God, our giftings to your authority on this morning. Father, we yield our schedules. We yield our members to you again, God. We yield our relationships. We don't care about how many times we have to do it. God, we will do it over and over again because we know, God, that there's something down deep in the inside of us, Lord God, that cannot bring you glory. And God, we yield every part of ourselves to you. We yield our habits before you. Ministry habits, natural habits. We yield our private life to your government on this morning. And we ask you, Lord God, to sit as the refiner over us today and purify us thoroughly, God. Clarify us today. Remove what resists your will. Remove what compromises our discernment. Remove what contaminates our motives. Come on, I need you to pray this even though you're on mute. I need you to begin to pray into this on this morning. I need you to begin to speak to yourself on today. Lord, I give you permission to confront what I have normalized even in this moment, even if I think that there's nothing that has been tainted in me. God, even that, God, is a wrong perspective because I know that there's still something in my soul that I have normalized that I don't see that needs to be confronted. But God, I'm giving you the permission to address it, to expose it. I am giving you the permission to correct what I have excused. I'm giving you the permission to disrupt what I have protected. And I ask for a clean heart and a right spirit this morning. I want clean hands. I want a pure heart. I want a right spirit, oh God. I want a clean heart, God. According to Psalm 51, I ask for inward truth, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we repent for every form of spiritual pride. We repent for leaning on longevity, God, as pure, as proof of being pure. We repent for treating gifting as maturity, God. We repent for the need to be affirmed and applauded and validated by men. We repent, God, for the desire, oh God, to be seen as accurate, God, but it's really not, God. We repent for the need to be consulted and sought after. We repent for speaking to maintain influence. We repent, God, for ministering from insecurity. We repent for interpreting through offense. We repent, God, for making room for suspicion, oh God. We repent for carrying rivalry. We repent, oh God, for compromising. We repent, oh God, for comparing ourselves to another. We repent for excusing emotional reactions and calling it discernment. Father, we're praying this morning that you would wash us, that you would cleanse us, that you would purge us and purify us according to 2 Timothy 2, until we become a vessel unto honor. Sanctify us, oh God, until our life is fit for your use. Lord, we pray, God, again, over and over again, to set a guard over our mouth, sanctify our tone, sanctify our timing, sanctify our delivery. God, remove carelessness from our speech, carelessness from our actions, remove exaggeration, remove flattery, God, remove intimidation, Father, remove the impulse to speak quickly when you are calling for restraint, God. Father, purify our words so they do not carry unresolved emotion. Purify our language, oh God, so it does not carry pride. Purify our delivery, Father, so it does not carry control. Let our speech align with your character. Let our words serve people without harming them, Father. Let our mouth become disciplined in the fear of the Lord. Father, we pray this morning that you will purify the lenses of our discernment, that you will remove biases in us, that you will remove assumption, that you will remove projection, that you will remove paranoia, that you will remove imaginations that masquerade as revelation. Remove interpretations born from offense, God. Remove conclusions formed without scripture. Train us to test what we sense. Train us to weigh what we perceive. Train us to wait for your timing. Train us to submit revelation to godly order. Let our discernment become clean, Father. We want it to be accurate, but we want it to be clean. We want our discernment to be safe for the people of God. In the name of Jesus, we renounce control, Lord God, in our lives, in ministry, Father. We renounce using revelation to steer outcomes. We renounce using prophetic language to pressure people. We renounce words that are powered by irritation. Oh God, we renounce, oh God, the need to manage how people see us. God, Lord, we pray, God, that you break every appetite for influence that competes with obedience. Break every desire to be indispensable. Break every pattern of dependency that we have allowed others to build on us. Establish servant leadership in us. Establish clean authority. Establish humility that welcomes correction, Father. Anchor us in your word. Make the scripture the standard that governs our impressions, our interpretations, our delivery. Remove every habit of private interpretation that ignores context. Remove every pattern of using verses as justifications for our poor behavior. Establish, God, sound doctrine in us. Establish biblical order in us. Establish consistency between our public ministry, God, and our private life, in the name of Jesus. Father, we're praying in Jesus' name that you will purify prophetic ministry in the body of Christ, that you will purify leaders, that you will purify training environments, that you will purify prophetic teams, that you will purify our intercession and intercessors, that you will purify pulpits and platforms and altars and private conversations and public
language. Expose mixture, oh God. Correct our errors. Oh God, restore the fear of the Lord. Establish accountability, God. Establish spiritual oversight. Establish healthy testing. Establish humility and teachability. Raise up us. Raise us up, God, as prophetic people who carry clean hearts, disciplined mouths, sound doctrine. And Father, we seal this work, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Seal it in us today. Seal it in us today. Seal it in us today. Keep us honest every day. Keep us soft before you every day. Keep us faithful in prayer every day. Keep us disciplined in scripture every day. Keep us submitted to your leadership, God, every day. Keep us consistent in our private integrity every day. Make us vessels of honor. Make me a vessel, oh God, unto honor. Sanctify me, purify me for your use on today. Let the stream from me be clean, God. Let my discernment be clear. Let my speech be holy. Yes, Lord. Let my fruit be evident. Let the fear of the Lord, hey, govern my life. In the maleki andore ba alianda ba seha. Yenanana ma alianda na ma adaya. Make me a vessel unto honor. Hey, let my oh God, when I think that I'm good, I lay that pride down again. But there is no good thing in me but you. Hey, even on my best day, oh God, never say it's like filthy rags. May I live on the altar. May I live in a place where you are always purifying, always sanctifying. Oh, male, manena, namale, ke ando rabalahaya. Oh, seleleni andaranamahaya. Oh, God, because we want to be vessels of honor. We want to be vessels of truth. We want to be vessels, oh, God, that are yielding and wise. We don't just want to have knowledge, but we want to have wisdom, Father. We want to keep it all the days of our life. We want you, oh, God, to smile when you see us. We want, oh, God, our worship to come up to you as a sweet smelling savor, Lord God, and not as an offense or foul before you, oh God. And so, God, individually and collectively, we say, sanctify us and purify us as vessels unto honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen. If you wouldn't mind, just unmute your line and just worship the Lord. Amen. Worship him today and thank him for testing us so that what is in the inside can come up out and not rule our lives. Just begin to thank him on this morning for bringing these things to life. Hallelujah. For the testing of our faith. It works with patience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for exposing in me what I have normalized. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For exposing the things that I did not know were there. Thank you, Lord, for sanctifying my vessel. Thank you, Lord, for making my stream clean. Thank you, Lord, for making my discernment clear. Thank you, Lord, for making my speech holy. Thank you, Lord, that I produce fruit. Thank you, Lord. Come on, thank him on this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for purifying my motives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that my interpretations, oh God, are right. Lord God, that I'm governed by the Spirit of God and not my flesh. Thank you, Lord, for purifying, oh, my intercession. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that I'm fully dependent on you, oh God, and not just my giving. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for purifying my lenses, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not led by paranoia, that I'm not led by suspicion. But God, you are delivering me day in and day out. Thank you, Lord, for sanctifying my tone, for sanctifying my timing. Thank you, Lord, for removing carelessness from my speech. Thank you, Lord, that I'm convicted quicker and quicker each day, God. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, we bless your name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you are removing the dross. That you're removing the dross from our vessels this morning. That you're removing the mixtures in our motives and our identity. That you are purifying our speech, our tongues, our kindness. Thank you, Lord.
That you would come in, O God.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Father. Lord God, that we are living in this world, but we are not of it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, that we're okay with you measuring us. Come on. I'm okay with you measuring me every day, God. I'm okay. But God, if you show me it today, if you show me it tomorrow, if you show me it the next day, God, thank you. I'm not tired of you measuring me, God, because I don't want to mess up. I don't want to displease you. I don't want, oh God, for you to frown, for you to be, for you to look upon me and be vexed. God, I want you, Lord God, to smile on my service. Hallelujah. I want you to smile on my service to you, to God, to people. Hallelujah. So thank you, God, for weighing me. Thank you for measuring me, God. Thank you for making my perception clean. Thank you for training me, God. Thank you, oh God, thank you. Thank you for convicting me, Father. I know my way is not the right way. I know your way is always the way that I need to take, God. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're teaching me to be slow to speak, to be quick to listen, oh God. Thank you that you're teaching me how to be honest in everything that I do. God, I thank you this morning. Lord God, that you are causing me to test my impressions, to make sure that I'm accurate, to make sure that this is not coming from a place of flesh. God, thank you that you've given me accountability that loves me. Thank you, Lord, that you give me people in my life, hallelujah, that bring correction to my life, Father, so that I don't stumble and fall. God, thank you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. We don't just thank you for money. We don't just thank you for provision. We thank you for correction.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. We can't take any of these things with us, God. But what we do take is our soul. And God, we want our soul. Our prized possession, God, is our soul. Lord God, hallelujah, God. What is precious to you is our soul. We're working out our soul salvation, God, with fear and with trembling, and we're saying thank you, Lord. Hey, God, we thank you this morning that you are training us every day to test what we're sensing, what we're perceiving. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're steering us in the right direction. Hallelujah. I just want to say this because I know at some point some of us may have said, it seems like I can't do nothing right. It seems like, man, every time the Lord is showing me this or that, I can't do nothing right. Let me tell you something. Shift that perspective. When you have the Spirit of God that is willing to show you these areas so that you don't stumble and fall, you should thank him. If God is measuring you and weighing you, it's because he loves you. It's because he loves you. God is not sitting on high and just trying to tear you down. No, what he's doing is building you as a vessel of honor. Refinement is that there is those very small things. So that's why it feels nitpicky. It feels meticulous because it is. When you use clarifying shampoo in your hair, it strips away and it takes it. If you've ever gone to the hair salon, And your stylist put you in the sink and use a clarifier, and you could have washed your hair. You look in that sink and you say, my God,
that came out of my head. I just washed my hair earlier this week. And all of that good came out? Yeah. Some of us take a laxative at home to use the bathroom to cleanse our system. But if you go to someone that performs a colonic, you wouldn't believe what's been in your gut for years that you can't get out with the common laxative that you take over the counter. Sometimes you got to go to a specialist. And they can get to the places that you can't get to. I love skincare. I take very good care of my skin. But I realize there's some things that I just can't do at home. I need medical grade. I need, if I want to achieve a certain level of, you know, a texture with my skin and clarity with my skin, I need that medical grade. So I had to go to someone that had the expertise and had what I needed that I can't do at home. And so, yeah, you may be real good at maintenance, but God said there's some things that you still don't see that I'm getting down deep in. It's coming up to the surface because I got to get to the things that are down deep in you that you may not see. And instead of looking at it like, I can't do nothing right, just thank him. Say, God, thank you for showing me things that I couldn't see with my own eyes. But the eye of the Lord, Elroy, the God who sees, he sees the things that we cannot see. And so I'm opening the line for anyone. It's not just the prophets. It's not just the apostles or the pastors. Anyone. If this word met you or you needed it to meet you, I'm so thankful that the Lord would put me in spaces like the prophetic symposium that I attended. Because it's not just, I value my development, but it's not just when you're in a space and an environment that's kind of incubated and set aside for a couple of days. I want you to get in those environments. Why? Because it begins to clarify you, clarify your perception, your discernment. So that when you go back into the world, you see different, you think different, you act different. So the line is open. I want to say this also. We will be here today at noon, but we will not be here tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow is Encounter Mornings here in Miami. So for our family that's in other cities and states, we will not be on the line at 5. We will not be on the line at noon. Okay, but we will be back here on Monday because we will have our 60 for 60 in person. If you're in Miami and you would like to come and visit us, we would love to have you, okay, at Encounter Mornings in the morning. Invite someone, tell them about it, you know, hey, call them, give them a way, say, listen, hey, you want to get to service on tomorrow. You don't want to miss, amen, what the Lord is going to be saying in the house. You want to be in the house, right? You want to be in the house. You want to be present and accounted for on tomorrow. So just make a note that we will not be here tomorrow. We will be here this afternoon at noon, but not tomorrow. And on Monday, we will be right now. We're not skipping out on our hour just because we won't be on the line. We are doing our hour tomorrow. We're just not doing it on the line because we will be in person. All right? We will be in person on tomorrow. So I'm opening the line before we close on this morning. We have a few minutes before it's 6 o'clock, so we have plenty of time. If you're here, if this word touched you in a really peculiar way, a unique way, however it touched you on this morning and you would like to come forth, the line is open for you this morning. Will there be one on this beautiful Saturday morning, on this last Saturday of the month of January, amen, 2026? It's the last Saturday that we will ever see in this year in January, amen. If you're here on this morning and you would like to testify, or if you would like to come forth, amen, if this word brought clarity to you, or whatever it brought to you, you can come forth at this time.
Well, this is Pat. I just want to say thank you. I'm new to this prayer line. And yes, everything we prayed about and spoke about this morning, I've been dealing with in my personal life. And it is just clarification and confirmation for me that I'm on the right track. And I just thank God. I just thank God. And thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Pat. Well, first of all, we want to welcome you and thank you for joining. I'm not sure how you got here, but I thank God for the vessel that led you here, and I thank God that you made it here, and I thank God that you are on the right track, and God is trying you in the fire, because on the other side of that fire is pure gold, woman of God. So just keep going. Keep moving. I know that refinement can be painful because God is addressing and he's touching those places in us. But at the other end of it, we are coming out of this refiner's fire as pure gold and a pure stream. Amen. So thank you for sharing this morning, Pat. We appreciate that. Anyone else? Thank you, Father.
Good morning. This is Christina. I'm Renita's friend from North Carolina. I just want to thank you all as well. I think I've been on here maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and every day, every afternoon, every time, I'm taking notes, and I'm learning so much and really being encouraged, and definitely corrected as well. But I'm grateful for your leadership, and I'm grateful for what the Lord has spoken in every single prayer time. So, I don't take that lightly. It's hard to find people that are this committed and devoted and honest and sincere. I felt my personal prayer time increase. I have set aside these two times and then my own time in the evening. And I've always known the power of prayer, but I haven't always given it the priority that it deserves. And so this has really challenged me to make this a continued process. And I'm really grateful for what I've learned and being encouraged by folks across the state and the world that are pressing in as well.
Yes. Thank you so much, Christina. I appreciate you, and I'm thankful that you got connected here. And you're absolutely right. There are others. And I like to emphasize that because sometimes it feels like we're the only ones, but there are many that are, they may be in what I call caves. They may be underground. They may not, you know, be maybe popular on you know, social media, or, you know, they may not stream their services, but there are people that are serious about God and serious about the things of God. Amen. And I just thank God that this is one of the places that is serious about all things God and the people of God. Amen. You know, sometimes we just want to do God, but we don't want to do people. No, if you cannot be an agent of the kingdom and not love God's people. Amen. So thank you so much for sharing. I'm so excited about you being here with us. Anyone else that would like to come on this morning, feel free to come now. Thank you, God. Don't be shy. We welcome you to come. Well, all right. Well, we thank you again for being with us here for 60 for 60 at 5 a.m. And we will hear you back here at noon for those that are able to get on. We will hear you back at noon. Make note, again, we will not be here on tomorrow. Amen. Because tomorrow is our encounter mornings here in Miami. And again, we invite you to come. We would love to have you. Amen. Your face in the place. Amen. So we will hear you back for those that are not able to make encounter mornings. Maybe you live out of the state and you can't make encounter mornings. We will hear you right back here on Monday, February 2nd. Amen. My birthday month. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Amen. For another month that we will be entering into. Amen. Birthday month. Okay. And we say happy birthday to any January birthdays that may be here with us today. Happy birthday, January birthdays. Whether you are live with us or you're listening back to the replay, we bless you on today. More grace to you. God bless you and hear you back here at noon. Bye-bye.